Congregation, the text for this morning is from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 23, verse 46. Luke 23, verse 46. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. So far. Christ's death on the cross. Four thoughts: a cursed death, secondly, a voluntary death, in the third place, a preached death, and in the fourth place, an exemplary death. So the death, Christ's death on the cross, a cursed death. Cursed is everyone that hang on the tree. Secondly, a voluntary death. He commends his spirit into the hands of his Father so willingly, so voluntarily. In the third place, a preached death to lift him up in the preaching, the Lord Jesus Christ, to preach him to you. In the fourth place, an exemplary death, like Stephen also died in a similar way. He's an example of calmness, calm dying, giving yourselves over in death to God. Crucify him. Crucify him. They don't stop shouting and chanting, "Crucify him, away with him." The crowd in front of Pilate was all worked up and moved by the high priests, and were encouraged to chant and to yell and to scream and to not agree with Pilate. I read in Mark, but the chief priests moved the people. They moved and they whispered, "Say this, do that, follow us. We are the example of you all." Cry and shout, "Crucify, crucify." And they did. They follow their religious leaders. But Pilate felt uncomfortable. Something was wrong. And Pilate answered and said again unto them, "What will ye then that I shall do unto him? Whom ye call the King of the Jews?" And they cried out again, "Crucify him." And Pilate said, "What did you wrong then? Why? What's the reason? Give me a reason why we should crucify him." And they answered and cried out more exceedingly, "Crucify him." They didn't even answer him. "Crucify, that's the only thing we want you to do that suffices. He has to go." And so Pilate, willing to content the people, he wanted peace, released Barabbas unto them, and delivered Jesus, and he had scourged him to be crucified. That's what we commemorate today, the crucifixion. Oh, what a hatred of the people. See the Lord Jesus standing there, and the people crying, "Crucify him." He came to his own people, to his own covenant people, and they hate him. He came to his own, and his own received him not. What an ingratitude, so unthankful. He healed their people. He spoke such beautiful sermons. He invited them and all this. And they want him to be crucified. That's such a shameful death. There's no privacy there. Some people like a private room in the hospital. I can see that. Nobody's business. Nobody has to see me. In such a vulnerable situation. And the Lord Jesus says on the cross, so extremely vulnerable and no privacy, such a shameful death, hardly any clothes on, and all people are looking. The Lord Jesus knew that was a shameful death, and he desired that, to take all the shame away. For a people that seek salvation only in him. What a painful death. Hard to breathe, pain in the whole body, his back wounded, his hands wounded, trying to breathe in, hardly be able to do that. Such a painful, sore death. Such a slow death. You know, like John the Baptist, the soldiers came to prison and just with one or two cuts, they decapitated him. Yeah, he didn't feel anything. Just in a few seconds, dead. Cruel, I know. Dramatic, I see. But short, right? In that sense, humane. A short death. And the Lord Jesus Christ is a slow death. It took hours and hours to drain the purse from his life. And the Lord Jesus experienced it. But then such a cursed death. Cursed by the people, cursed by God himself. A cursed death. That's our first thought. Cursed. If you curse someone, you wish someone all the evil. You wish that hell opens its mouth and swallows you up. All the evils for you. I curse you. I have no blessing for you. I have no eulogy for you. That's the opposite. Cursing someone is the same as a eulogy. The opposite of a eulogy. I read in Galatians 3, verse 13, something of that curse. And I'm not preaching on that text, but every word is special. Christ has redeemed us from the curse. Taking that curse away, redeemed from the curse, from the curse. Have you that curse on your back? Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. That law testifying against us, this do, ye shall live. And that law curses the law, makes it clear as sinners. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse. He is cursed altogether. He is made a curse for us, for it's written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. I wish that today, this morning, you would leave the church, you unconverted people, with that curse on your neck, feeling I am banned, I'm cursed, the curse of the law, so that you see that your sins need to be forgiven, that begins to tremendously bother you. And you feel hungry and thirsty for salvation, for being relief, being that curse being taken away. But that is Good Friday, you see that he took the curse to give you the blessing. It's possible. And so they crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. He had to carry the cross on his wounded back uphill to Golgotha. And there they laid the cross on the ground and the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, and they drove the nails through his hands. And then there was a hole made and they put that cross in the hole. So you see the Savior Jesus Christ on the cross. See him hanging there. Listen. Listen very carefully to what he saw when people crucify him, as if they are filled with absolute hatred. Away with him. Barabbas. He desired Barabbas, not him. But it's his response. Listen to that first word on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. That's the Lord Jesus, crucified with that shameful, painful, long curse, death on the cross. The first thing he says is, Father, forgive them. Now, that's not our text, but I can't stop it by saying this. You have to forgive as well. The Lord Jesus said, forgive them. His malefactors, his murderers, they don't know what they are doing. Listen to him on the cross. He speaks again to the one next to him. Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Still caring, still kind, still forgiving to people next to the cross. Listen, in front of him, see there John the evangelist and his own mother, Mary. Woman, behold thy son. Son, behold thy mother. Still carrying on the cross, see that? So much pain and shame and curse, and yet he looks at others and does not forget his mother. And then the fourth word on the cross, my God. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? It's a cry out of his soul, the feeling forsaken by his own father. I thirst, I hear, so thirsty to quench the thirst of sinners. It's finished, he says, triumphantly as victor, it's finished. I did it all right. I have not made one mistake. I have not sinned one sin. I am blameless. I finished all the work in obedience, in actively obeying the law and all my suffering. And then the last word, its context. After he said it's finished, in such a calm way, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And he gave up the ghost. He died. Lord Jesus Christ died. Unbelievable. How is that possible? The disciples did not understand this. He died. The bitter but glorious death of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was a calm death. A peaceful death. Yes, it was. Father, in thy hands I commend my spirit, but yet curse. He had to die. Why did he have to die? Remember what the Lord had said in paradise to Adam and Eve? The day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, the second Adam, and must experience a physical death, a spiritual death, in a sense an eternal death, all together in the time he did die. That cursed death is necessary. And congregation, either or. The Lord Jesus is a curse for you, or you are cursed yourself. How does it sound? How does that sound? A curse yourself, carrying the curse a long eternity, being cursed because of sin, that curse of the law. Seek your salvation in the Savior Jesus Christ. He died. He hung his head and he exhaled, gave up the ghost. There's originally only one word. Gave up the ghost, one word. He exhaled and died. Gift of the Father, a curse to give blessing, a cursed death. Let's go to the next thought, a voluntary death. Now see that calmness, that willingness in the Lord Jesus Christ, Father, into thy hands, thy loving hands, thy mighty hands, I commend my spirit, I give my life, I give it. Voluntarily, willingly, nobody takes it. I give it myself. I cannot die that way. I cannot. I have no power to lay down my life. You? We cannot do that. It absolutely depends upon God's time. When it says it's my time, then the Lord takes our life. We cannot take it ourselves, even not in suicide. But the Lord Jesus laid it down willingly. Not only willingly in the sense of, well, let God take it then, if he wants to. Kind of reluctantly giving it over in the hands of the Lord. No, actively, purposely, he took his life in his hands. And he gave it back. Again, paradise. Adam was made out of the clay. And the Lord breathed in the spirit of life. And he became a living soul. So let's give it life. The Lord Jesus, he himself gives his spirit. Willingly. There are beautiful texts regarding that in the Bible, especially in the Gospel according to John. I have to connect with that. That willingly dying, that voluntary death, to lay it down himself. I read in John 10, as the Father knoweth me, Even so, know I the Father, closeness, right? And I lay down my life for the sheep, for the sheep. Not because they believe in him, no. He gives his life not because they believe in him, but he gives his life to the sheep so they will believe in him. That's the consequence. He dies in order to give life and faith to his sheep. That's the power of his death. He paid the price of unbelief for his sheep. And on the sheep I have, which are not of this fold, then also I must bring. I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. So the Lord Jesus says he laid down his life in order to give life to his people, to the sheep, and more he must bring. He is not finished in that sense. He continues until the last one is made alive. I read in that same chapter, John 10, therefore. For that reason, therefore, does my Father love me? The Lord Jesus says, my Father loves me. Why? Therefore does my Father love me, because I laid down my life. I laid down my life that I might take it again. So the Father loves his Son because he has laid down his life. So it is a good Friday in heaven. God loves it. That his Son laid down his life so willingly, so committed. And I read the next verse in John 10:18, no man taketh it from me. There's nobody think that anyone can take the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. No pilot, no soldiers, no high priest, nobody. No man can take it from me. But I lay it down of myself, he says. It's my act. It's what I do. It's my activity. I lay it down of myself. I have the power, he says. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it again. So the Lord Jesus Christ, so powerful on the cross, he looks weak and vulnerable, but the Lord Jesus Christ has all the power, and is the power to lay it down and to take it up again. And greater love has no man than this, that the man lay down his life for his friends. The love of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross for his friends, for his sheep, for his people, and in order to also draw enemies out of their hostility and the curse. What a death. So not even reluctantly, but actively, he laid his life back into the loving hands of the Father. What a tenderness in thy hands. I commend my spirit. So calm. The suffering is over. He has said it's finished. And now the Lord Jesus is so calm. Does it surprise you? He does not panic. He does not cry out in agony. He dies in such a calm sense, so peacefully, right? A peaceful death. Why? Because he paid. He paid the full price. He is not worried about that. His death is a good death. It's a cursed death. He has to die. It's a consequence of sin. And yet so calm. Why did Lord Jesus die so calmly? Because he paid everything. That's why. His sacrifice is sufficient for the expiation of the sins of the entire world. The Lord Jesus died peacefully because he finished the work. He triumphantly did. He is not a victim. It's not a victim on the cross, it's a victor, a conqueror. And that's why it says, and then Jesus cried with a loud voice. Usually when people die, they whisper. They have hardly a voice left. They have no power. They're weak, close to death. The Lord Jesus died and spoke with a loud voice, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Loud voice, strength, power, willingly, because he finished. Maybe a door at that Jesus. And seek our salvation only in him. Our third thought. A preached death. See that the cross, so high. On the cross, no privacy, right? No privacy. Everyone walking in the area can see it. On a hill, on a cross, high up. People don't have to say, well, to the side, I want to see it as well. No, everyone could see it. You know why? Why so high? Why on the cross? But I was cursed. Also another reason. Why I was lifted up so high. You know why? For you. For you. You can see it. You can see him. You say, well, minister, that goes far. That's spiritualizing and allegorizing, and I don't know if that's biblical. But I know for sure, because I read it in John 3. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up on the cross. Lifted up on the cross. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting eternal life. So it is symbolic. That's not an accident. That is not spiritualizing. That's not allegorizing. That's meant to be this way. The Lord Jesus had to hang on the cross to make it visible. There is no privacy in the gospel. Did you see that? Did you hear that? From page 103, 104, on the canons. Promiscuously. And no distinction, right? It's on page 104. Moreover, the promise of the gospel is that whosoever believeth in Christ crucified shall not perish but have everlasting life. This promise, together with the command to repent and believe, ought to be declared and published in all nations and to all persons promiscuously and without distinction. So this morning, I must lift up the Lord Jesus Christ in the gospel, in the preaching, promiscuously, without distinction. Not saying, I preach to you and to you, and I see some tears there for you, and I see some brokenness there. To you I preach the gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ. No, all of you, promiscuously, without distinction, unconditionally, and so high that you sit in the very back. Maybe you do not sit in the back, but in a sense you feel outside of God's people. You do not dare to lift up your eyes to God. You smite yourself on the breast, says, be merciful to me, a sinner. I preach the Lord Jesus Christ, not to the elect, but to all of you. Shameful death, but no privacy in the gospel. So I must warn you, cursed is everyone that hang on a tree. That curse of the law is on your back. You must flee. You must make haste. You must hurry before it is too late. You are invited by God to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and to seek your salvation absolutely only in Him. He encourages you to pray for repentance and faith. We hope that you're encouraged by that. By the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ is the gift. There is more. We must proclaim Him. And we must not only invite you and say the door is open, and say you are so welcome to seek your salvation only in Jesus Christ. We must constrain you and compel you and put pressure on you and command you. But minister, I have no hands, I have no feet, I have no heart, I'm dead, I have nothing, I see. And I don't understand it all either. I can't reconcile all those pieces of the dog to myself at all. But I have to preach the word. And this I must say, I preach you all Jesus Christ and Him crucified. He is the only Savior, the only way, truth, and life. Don't seek your joy in the things of this life. When you go home and think about this sermon, this text, maybe you can answer a question for yourself. And you think of all you have, all your wealth. That's this one side. and Jesus Christ and crucified on the other side. What's more important, dear? What do you love more? Your wealth and all you have, whatever you have accumulated, and your family life, your health, everything you have, or the Lord Jesus Christ? He wants to be your everything. He wants to be the Savior, the Jesus Christ. And he died. That very moment the Lord Jesus has died, was an earthquake. The very moment that the Lord Jesus died, the veil of the temple rent from the top to the bottom. Very dramatic. That centurion said, surely, verily, this must be the Son of God. And all those tokens, all those signs and wonders are necessary to underline it. He is the Savior. So when you're leaving this church building this morning, it's one or the other. You belong to that faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, with body and soul, or you don't. Can you live with that? Can you just do your work and being a mom and being a dad and working hard and making money and going on vacation and all that? Without God in the world. Voluntary death, cursed death first, voluntary death second, a preached death. We preach death in Adam and life in Christ. Because life in Christ is that we preach his death, the glorious remembrance of his bitter death. That's Good Friday. You see that. You look and behold the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. I like the word absorbing the wrath of God, to take the curse away, to relieve people so with Barabbas they can be released. Fourth, an exemplary death. Exemplary death. What do I mean? That the way the Lord Jesus Christ died is an example. In what sense? Well, think of Acts 7, verse 50 and 59 and 60. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God. He called upon God when he died and said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. He did not lay it down, I agree, but he died so calmly. Receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to the church. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. I read the commentary of J.C. Ryle. If you have that on Luke, look at this text. I will summarize it for you. And he says, this text, this seventh verse of the cross, is something of a lesson for all true Christians. Keep it in mind. A lesson for all true Christians. We should not be afraid when death comes. The Lord Jesus Christ died so calmly because he paid the price. And if the price has been paid for you, no reasons to be afraid. Regard death as a vanquished enemy, as they conquered enemy, the sting has been taken away by Christ's death. There's no sting, so don't fear, you true Christian, when you're involved in an accident and have only 10 minutes to live in the wreck. Be not afraid. He paid the price for his church. Regard him as a vanquished enemy, as the sting taken away by Christ's death. Death only hurts the body for a little season. Await his approaches with calmness and patience. Think of your death and being a true Christian and prepared. You see him, death, approaching, coming closer and closer to your life. But I'll say, await his approaches with calmness and patience. And believe that when flesh fails, our soul will be in good keeping. And flesh fails, the soul in good keeping. So see how important it is to be a Christian, a true Christian, not only the name Christian, to be alive. You know, I hate dramatizing and working artificially upon someone's feelings. It needs to be genuine. And yet, one of us here together will be first. One of us will be last to appear before God. And death will come. They're all the same age. Younger ones, older ones. You think, oh, he'll die before me. She'll die before me. She's way older, way weaker, way sicker. I don't know. Our life is only a handbreadth. When it comes, could you await its approaches with calmness and patience, knowing that there is life for you in the Lord Jesus Christ? Seek him as your Savior, as your Master, as your Lord, as your husband, as your shepherd. The Lord Jesus commanded his spirit in God's hands. But it will be a terrible thing to fall in the hands of God if you're not prepared. Exemplary death. I also thought of something else, also in a different sense, an example. The Roman soldiers crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. You crucify too. Do it. Crucify him. Who do you mean? That old man, that flesh, that sinful man. Crucify him. Be terribly hard, cruel. Fight hard. Crucify him. Crucify that old sinful man. Do not be so generous and easy on him. Crucify him. Crucify your members who are on earth. Seek your joy also today in a dying Savior who paid the price and died so calmly. I pray you may have a good Friday. Amen. Almighty Lord, exalt him in our hearts. Make room for the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no room, absolutely no room. We crucify him. We despise him. We look the other way. But Lord Jesus, thou hast paid the price, and other sheep thou hast, and they must also be brought in. Or we ask, Lord, give also the application of thy Spirit also this morning hour, and make it unforgettable what the words ask. Open it, Lord, to the hearts. Bring us safely back home, back to the house on Sunday. For Easter, give also that expectation, that hope to seek, to find. We ask in Jesus' name alone. Amen.